Welcome to Voices of the Community. I'm your host, George Koster.
This is part two of our special highlight show, bringing you more voices from the California for the Arts 2024 Arts and Culture Summit. This marks the last episode of our two-season Where Art Meets Impact series, which has showcased thought leaders from arts, culture, health, and government. The Voices of the Community team is transitioning to produce Making the Invisible Visible, featuring our unhoused neighbors. We'll be rotating past episodes and archives in the coming months. Eric Estrada hosts this finale episode.
Join our host George Koster and our summit roaming reporter Eduardo Robles as we highlight the voices of panelists and attendees that discussed how artwork is real work and how arts organizations are rebuilding communities through the arts. Our first voice is Jackie Melendez, Assistant City Manager for the City of Chino.
Okay, so this is the arts economy, what just happened with the Swifties and with the Beyonce concerts and all of that. We're looking at Olympic size economic impact in these communities. So anybody that tells you, like, oh, why is the arts on the table? Then that's how they'll talk, I promise. So this slide really basically tells it all. In an economic development context, like some of your stuff that you do, you might say, well, I don't see myself up there. But this is how you speak to economic developers right here. Mona Lisa. How many visitors go and see the Mona Lisa every year? Anybody know? 4 million, a little higher? Yes, Deja. How much? 10 million. Who said it? Right there. You're right. 10 million. That's the power of one painting. Now, I'm an economic developer, so my brain just goes, okay, how many dinners was that? Okay, how many Uber drives was that? How many, all these different multiplier effects. That's how we start to look at the economy, and that's how you all have to be looking at the impacts of the things that you're doing, the artists that you're bringing in. So I'm not going to go too much to Cheech, just shout out to Cheech, I'm Chicana. To have the Cheech, to be in the opening gala when all that was going down, our art wasn't even looked at as art. We weren't allowed to be in museums. So to have our own museum, if you hear us bragging about this, is a big deal for us. How many of you have been to the Cheech? Yes. If you haven't, plan a trip. Come down. Spend some of your economic development dollars in the Inland Empire. Hey.
Our next voice is Tracy Hudak, Director of Field Engagement for California for the Arts.
But really what has, because those elements were embedded, and we also were identified in some strategies, that created the basis, an accountability document, a basis for further action, a further investment, further commitments. And the land use plan, now most people's general plans are already adopted and they're happening and they go out to 2040. But there are amendments. It is a living document. But that kind of change requires political will. It requires leadership. It requires continued conversation. And decision makers that might lead that would be elected officials to influence, commissioners and commissions, and key staff member. Now, in local government, most of you probably already know this, but much of the directive and the thrust of what happens has to come from elected officials. They're the representatives, and commissioners and staff don't often have advocacy power, but they do have influence. You know, they are the trusted knowledge bearers. And so those relationships and staying in conversation. And then there are other change makers in our community, folks, and they can be us individually meeting with elected officials and letting them know what we're making happen in the community. We can be those influencers, but then also be thinking about civic leaders, your community foundations, your chambers of commerce, your business improvement districts, the groups of folks who convene, who talk about what's important to the community, who are trying to make communities thrive. They're eager to partner with us. They're eager for ideas often. And with a caveat. And thank you, too. Good, I'm perfect on the timing. Universities and researchers also can provide the local data, can do the footwork for you to make the case and build the data for the stories.
How many of you have a data committee for your organizations? What's your organization?
I'm in a community college.
You're a community college.
Yeah, I've got the resources.
Nice. Okay.
Great. So if you don't have that data resource, you can partner with local scholars, academic teachers, professors, or departments in your universities or community colleges.
And your MERPs.
Yes. And then also those folks who are tasked with systems change, your disaster recovery coalitions and groups, folks that are trying to, anybody, any of the relationships that were built for the census outreach, that California worked really hard bringing all kinds of diverse people together to make sure folks were counted. If you want to get involved and partner in terms of engagement in this year's election, those are great people to build relationships with in terms of getting the vote out, supporting their efforts to bring people to the table. Those are great partnerships.
Coming up next is Josiah Bruni, CEO of Music Changing Lives.
All right. Hi, my name is Eduardo Robles with Californians for the Arts and Voices of the Community here at the second annual California Arts and Culture Summit in Sacramento, California. I'm here with Josiah Bruni, our facilitator or our panelist for the Arts and Youth panel. So there's been a lot of harm to communities, and coming out of this pandemic of isolation, and we heard some talk on arts and health, and the damage is done to kids, you know, in their academic performance and literacy. And so there is probably, you know, some data there for some intervention, support, policies, et cetera. How are we addressing that urgency? Is it being addressed for youth? You know, like, mentioned a little bit on the intergenerational leadership. Are leaders stepping up to support youth in that way?
Sadly, I haven't seen too many examples that we can follow for that youth development. I mean, you have youth programming again, but mainly it's cookie cutter. It's not giving the students the power to be decision makers at the table and also to be inclusive in this economic development that we're talking about. And so that's where we're changing that narrative, right? We know our data, we know our narrative, and now we know the action. And our action is to get more youth engaged in those talking tables. And so we need to start and just meet them where they are, get them civically engaged, get them prepared, teach them advocacy, teach them how to go out and speak for themselves. But most importantly, we got to stop acting like it's just cute what they're talking about and truly listen to the youth. There's some dynamic children out here and young adults that are making some powerful movements, but they just need leaders like ourselves to come and listen to them and then give them the tools to make that change happen within their community. And that's, again, what we're doing through our State of the Youth program. And we're hoping that this will become a policy. So just like how every city gives a State of the Youth or a State of the City address or the State of the County, we want their youth in those cities and their youth in those counties to have now a youth council that will speak for their region statewide that says, here's what youth adults are facing. Because what I've seen is for politicians, I get it, right? Who's voting for me? That's all they're thinking about. I need a vote. And these young kids, they don't really count as a vote for them. And so we need to change that and let them know that these are the future voters for you. And these are the ones that are going to set the tempo in the future for all of us. Hopefully they'll keep Social Security, healthcare, things like that rolling, and we don't drop the ball.
Yeah. So the artworks to empower youth, the artworks. Thank you so much for offering us some of your insight into the panel and some of your programs and all of the good work that you're doing. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Coming up next is Danielle Brazel and Gloriel Garcia from the California Arts Council.
So we're here at the California Arts and Culture Summit, and I have with me
Danielle Brazel, Executive Director of the CAC.
Gloriella Garcia, the Operations Manager for CAC.
Yep, we're here at the summit for Artwork is Real Work. What has been the highlight of the day for you?
Well, I will tell you, the highlight of the day has been the incredible panels and really being able to hang out and be with my colleagues and learn from my colleagues from across the state.
Networking, getting to know another aspect that I'm usually not used to seeing, and learning from all of you.
And, you know, it looks like we're a movement, right? Like, there's just so many conversations that, you know, art and culture is, you know, advancing. You know, what is the future looking like?
So seeing the movement at this stage, some of us have been at it a really long time. And what I'm seeing is that the momentum continues to increase and the advancements are actually happening. First of all, the strategic plan that was unveiled today for Californians for the Arts was absolutely amazing. And to see how far we've come and yet how far we are to go.
Where do you see yourself in this movement, or where are you in the movement?
where in the movement, I got to say, I'm more, because I'm operations, more budget focused, very strategic in that realm. So I am, what's the word? I'm embracing the art, creativity, and I want to expand that a little bit more in knowledge. And so, yeah.
So I want to just say shout out to all of the people who manage the contracts, who move the money, who manage the bureaucracy, who make sure that arts, culture, and creativity is getting into the hands of communities throughout the state. And this woman right here is behind it all.
Yeah. That's the artwork is real work. That's the art worker, you know. That's the movement. You're moving the work forward.
Art workers are accountants. Art workers are operation managers. Art workers are facility managers. They are supervisors. You know, there's no question that in order to be an arts worker, it manifests in multiple ways.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Danielle, for taking the time, you know, to, you know, talk to us and, you know, for welcoming us to Sacramento. You know, you're the leader of the Arts Council, and congratulations on that appointment.
And thank you,
very Eduardo. Inspired for your leadership.
Well, Eduardo, likewise. we've known each other a minute, and it's really great to see you blossom, and I hope you are thriving.
Thank you so much.
We're halfway through our powerful conversation at the 2024 California Arts and Culture Summit. You've heard from the voices of Jackie Melendez, Assistant City Manager for the City of Chino, Tracy Hudak, Director of Field Engagement for California for the Arts, Josiah Bruni, CEO of Music Changing Lives, and summit attendees Danielle Brazel and Gloriel Garcia from the California Arts Council. Thank you to our incredible sponsors and donors like you for supporting Voices of the Community. Stay with us, more highlights ahead. Voices of the Community is made possible by generous support from the Zellerbach Family Foundation, dedicated to ensuring vibrant work is created, new voices are celebrated, and diverse communities have opportunities to thrive. Learn more at zff.org. Voices of the Community is also supported by the Peaceful World Foundation, fostering a culture of global peace through hosted conversation and education. Discover more at peacefulworldfoundation.org. Welcome back to Voices of the Community, where today's conversation at the 2024 California Arts and Culture Summit focuses on how artwork is real work and rebuilding communities through the arts. Coming up next is the voice of Kristen Sakota, director of the Los Angeles County Department of Arts and Culture. Let's continue the discussion.
Hi, this is George Koster with the Voices of the Community and Californians for the Arts at the second annual California for the Arts and Culture Summit. I'm here with Kristen Sakota from LA County Department of Arts and Culture, who was a speaker last year. And so, Kristen, from this year's summit, what would you say are one of the main themes that you really resonate with and your department's work resonates with?
Sure, absolutely. Well, it's exciting to be back again and be here in person. And of course, we know that arts and culture is so important. It can apply to pretty much every facet of our civic lives. But it was really important that today we uplifted the notion of cultural equity, as well as economic empowerment for our artists and our communities, and the notion of arts and health. And I'll say at the LA County Department of Arts and Culture, we work in a wide range of ways, from grant making to arts education to civic art, but we are also focusing on the intersection of arts and health in our work. And so it's really been exciting to see this as a field begin to grow even more, including at this year's summit.
So just a follow up to that, do you feel like there's an opportunity for you to work with the county to actually, and this is always a hard one in today's environment, you know, economically, secure funds to help execute perhaps everyone's favorite word, a pilot program on arts, you know, as health, arts prescription?
Yes. Well, I'm happy to say that we actually have already been doing work at the intersection of arts and health. And for everybody out there, I want to say one other thing, which is expanding access to the arts importantly helps our well-being and our vital and healthy community. So any kind of access to the arts really supports arts and health. But we at LA County have already been spearheading some partnerships and collaborations around arts as a mental health support for young people, as well as through our grant making to arts organizations throughout LA County, and also having artists in residence and civic art in our hospitals. So we're excited about this work, but I am looking forward to growing and building on it from here with, yes, hopefully unlocking more funding, more resources, and more opportunity.
So just to wrap up for all the folks listening and watching this, what can they do in their communities and within LA County, for example, to actually engage with nonprofits, your organization, to bring more of this to our community?
Yeah, well, everybody can engage in the arts themselves, but also we can all be a voice for the arts. Because while broadly we know it's popular, it still sometimes can be a narrative that we have to change, that arts is just a nice to have, right? Or that we don't really need to pay for it somehow. So I think if everyone all across California, all across the country really, can continue to be a voice for the arts, but also to engage in it to make ourselves whole and happy and support organizations any way they can. And if they are a nonprofit or an artist operating in LA, in the county, of course, you can apply to our programs at lacountyarts.org. But there's always great information all around California, Californians for the Arts, California Arts Council, and so on.
Thank you so much, Kristen, for all these really wonderful words of wisdom and taking time away from the summit to share your insights today.
Thank you.
Coming up next is Jennifer Lane, Executive Director for the San Benito County Arts Council and President of California Arts Advocates.
Hi, Eduardo Robles with Californians for the Arts and Voices of the Community here at the second annual California Arts and Culture Summit in Sacramento, California. I'm here with Jennifer Lane, our board member.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
So Jennifer is leading a panel, Policy Wins, Updates, and Visions for the Future.
Got it. Yeah.
Wonderful. Do you want to talk a little bit more about what are some of these wins or, you know, speak a little bit more on the work that you're advancing?
Sure. So one I can speak really in more detail about is the California Creative Corps program, in part because it's one that I'm closely involved in on the Central Coast. So this was one-time funding, kind of coming out of COVID, relief funding to really put artists in service, working closely with government agencies and community-based organizations to address really nutty community challenges around public health, civic engagement, social justice, and climate impact. So one of the panelists this afternoon will be from the Kern Dance Alliance that is working on a Creative Corps program there. I believe, I want to say there's around 14 to 20 Creative Corps programs happening throughout the state, but we're really towards the end of this program. It was a policy win because we were able to get arts funding out into the field and then really try to pilot these examples of artists working closely inside government and community-based organizations. So how are artists great second responders? How are they trusted messengers in their community? How can they help address all these challenges at the local level? Where we're at is this funding set to expire. We'll be gathering all this data here on the Central Coast. We'll be producing a case study on the work that we've been doing because we want to continue to advocate for this funding. We know that the state is facing a major budget crisis that probably lasts longer than a year, unfortunately. But once we're in a bit of a better situation, we want to make sure that the state reinvests in these programs. So reinvest in the Creative Corps, reinvest in cultural districts, and in creative youth development. Creative youth development, of course, supports that pipeline of young artists and creatives so that we continue to build California's future creative workforce.
Thank you so much. So what are your visions for the future? We saw some of those wins and Creative Corps about to expire. How are we kind of like mobilizing, you know, to prove the value of art workers to invest more? Are there emerging opportunities? How do we tap into those opportunities?
Yeah, I think despite the challenges and the funding ups and downs that we all deal with, we're gradually making change. We just have to keep advocating, keep fighting. Every day we're taking a step forward in the right direction. What I would like to see, and I think this is something that we've really learned from the Creative Corps, is wow, an artist with a full-time salary and benefits. It's magic, you know. And the thing is, it shouldn't be magic. Artists are entitled, just like every other worker, to a livable, predictable, sustainable wage with healthcare benefits, with retirement, so they can live and thrive in California. That's what I would like to see. And I think everybody here wants to see that. Moreover, we want to see it in the schools. We want to see it in public spaces and in our communities. These are things that we value. We value beauty. We value connection and belonging. And this is what we can do as artists.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for taking the time to talk, and delighted for your panel.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
Up next is Shira Lane, founding executive director of Atrium 916.
I'm going to get to this. So later on, Carts for the Arts, we realized that cartridges, vape cartridges, were being thrown away. They're being marketed as disposable. You can't dispose these vape cartridges. You throw them in the trash, they explode. Yeah. They're connected, so they've got lithium-ion batteries. So if you put it in e-waste, you can't put it in e-waste because it's got the cannabis oil on it. And you can't take it to the cannabis waste because it's got the lithium-ion battery on it. And so you really literally can only hold on to it. And this was a big problem. So we created, oh, I'm going to get to all of you. We created an art exhibit that was made out of cartridges. And we created an arts panel that went with it. And that was a panel with like manufacturers. And that was a panel with policy advisory people. And we got together and it got national news. But what was more important is after that exhibit finished, that group continued to meet. They became a working group. And eventually they were able to pass legislation that eliminated them being able to market that as disposable and change and force the marketer, the distributors and the producers to change their design. So thank you. Art, we can make huge differences. And that's where I'm getting at. So artists could not get unemployment. They could not apply for the PPP. A lot of them were just lost. We had hundreds. And so we quickly got online and we brought in the city. It was great because then the city officials were able to actually hear from the local artists.
Next, we have summit attendees Ruben Revelis, futuristic Chicanx artist, and Dr. Meg Nabat, founder of Gulabi Stories.
Hey, we're coming at you live at the California Arts and Culture Summit. I'm here with
Meg Nabat.
And
Ruben Revelis.
Yeah. So how has been the day?
It's been great. A lot of interesting things to learn about, and learned a lot of stuff about sound and healing, and yeah, it's great. And art.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Artwork is real work.
Yeah.
And how is artwork real work for you?
Oh, I think just the community building and the transformative conversations we have about the power of stories, the power of art and culture, you know, to create a sustainable environment and a future. I love those elements of the conversation.
Yeah, what were you most inspired by today?
I think the whole, you know, I think the deeper conversations about artwork is real work. And as an artist, how do you align your values, you know, to the yes values, right? What do you say yes to and you say no to, like, unpaid work? Because I think you're setting it up for other future artists. So how do you step up and you assert yourself and, you know, recognize your own value? I love that part.
So did it inspire, like, more advocacy work?
Yes, it really did. And also to learn what you're not that good at doing and learn to reach out and ask for help for people and, you know, and communicating and, you know, meeting all these new people, which is a good extension of community work. Yeah.
Yeah. Our statewide peers, right? Yes. Like our folks all over the city. What was your favorite panel?
Oh, I feel I love the keynote. The first two panels were really powerful. Again, they address so many aspects of conversations and struggles that each of us are going through in our own artistic discipline. And just to know that you're not alone and we're trying to problem solve and again create visibility and, you know, legitimacy of the work that we're doing in our different disciplines.
Yeah. Did you do a workshop?
Yes. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was more of the art and healing and music and sound. Whoa. So it was really good. Yeah. Because being a former musician, you know, I can relate to what they were talking about. So in art and healing through music and, you know, that was great.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So can you tell us a little bit about the organization or in the artist?
Yeah. Sure. I'm a Chicanx futurist artist. I do a lot of work in movement, vibration, sounds, colors, and through healing, right, too. And also a story culture teller and going through Mexico and coming back and displaying the great parts of Mexico, you know. Yeah.
The practitioners here.
I am Meghna. I'm a first-generation South Asian immigrant, and I created Gulabi Stories, a South Asian storytelling initiative about healing. And I am a storyteller by artist, so I share stories on stage. I facilitate storytelling workshops for immigrant and refugee communities, and I love what I do.
Great. There it is. Artwork is culture work. Artwork is here at the California Arts and Culture Summit. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Coming up next, we have summit attendee Alex Gallardo from the Arts Council of Kern.
Hi, we're here at the California Arts and Culture Summit, and here I am with Alex.
Alex Gallardo with Arts Council of Kern.
Alex, what brings wonder? How is artwork real work or cultural work or economic work?
I'll go with the first question you asked was, how do you nourish wonder? I think it's an opportunity. Give the opportunity to the people who want to grow and are wondering. So just giving out that opportunity and being a part of it and helping them out, I think that's a good way to nourish it.
Yeah, what did you like today?
Cool experience. I was here last year. I liked it last year. This year was also really good. A lot of good topics to talk about. I manage the Arts and Corrections Program with the Arts Council of Kern, so I always kind of take a little bit there and how to make my program better. And I think there was pretty good points out there.
Yeah. You're part of a big, bigger movement of how, you know, like art and culture is being, you know, kind of used as a solution.
Yeah. You know, we really want to empower those that are feel like they're powerless, feel like they're forgotten. We really want to bring that out there and also give them that sense of that, you know, they can do. They can still contribute to the community. They can still do things that, you know, make them feel as a community. So,
yeah,
I love it. It was good. Beautiful.
Wonderful. So we got a little story on wonder. Can you tell us a little bit about your community, how you're taking all of this back to your community?
Well, like I said, we are Arts and Corrections, and we plan to grow and expand. So part of my thing is to recruit artists, teaching artists to go and to give back to the community, give back to the institutions. So, yeah, man, it's just a positive thing overall.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
That concludes part two of our highlight episode of season two of Where Arts Meets Impact in partnership with California for the Arts. A special thanks to our summit attendees and our guests, Jackie Melendez, Tracy Hudak, Josiah Bruni, Kristen Sakota, Jennifer Lane, and Shira Lane for their insights on arts advocacy. Visit voicesofthecommunity.com and go to season two of Where Arts Meets Impact and explore more about our guests and see their work and take action in your community to support the arts. While you're on our website, we invite you to visit and stay tuned for our next series, Making the Invisible Visible, as we amplify the voices of our unhoused neighbors and the people and organizations that support them.
Today's episode was made possible through our co-production partnership with California for the Arts at their annual California Arts and Culture Summit. Special thanks to our technical crew, audio and video wizard Eric Estrada, and our co-production partner, Bayvac Media, and their wonderful team, Paula Argoni, Andy Konami, Siobhan Giles, and Clay Goh. Thanks to Casey Nance from Citron Studios for the graphics magic. A special thanks to our broadcast partners who helped share these important conversations, KSFP LPFM in San Francisco, KPCA LPFM in Petaluma, Petaluma Community Public Access TV, Bayvac Media's SF Commons, and PEG Media's Public Access TV Exchange. Thank you for your commitment to amplifying diverse voices and perspectives. Please support these partners and our mission by tuning in and spreading the word. Voices of the Community is made possible by generous support from the Zellerbach Family Foundation, dedicated to ensuring vibrant work is created, new voices celebrated, and diverse communities have opportunities to thrive. Learn more at zff.org. Voices of the Community is also supported by the Peaceful World Foundation, fostering a culture of global peace through hosted conversations and education. Discover more at peacefulworldfoundation.org. And we'd love your support to continue to make shows just like this one. Go to voicesofthecommunity.com and click on the donate button to help us continue to bring you unique voices from our community. Take Voices of the Community with you on the go. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. Enjoying the show? Please rate and review us on your favorite app. It helps more people discover these important stories. Go to youtube.com @geocoster to watch or listen to all of our past and future episodes. And you can always go to voicesofthecommunity.com and listen and watch our 5 series and from our archives. Have feedback or ideas for shows? We'd love to hear from you. Email George at georgecoster.com. I'm George Coster from San Francisco. On behalf of our team, thank you for joining us. Until next time, remember, your voice matters.